Hello and welcome to the Footvey English podcast in collaboration with World Football Index, a unique mix of fandom and journalism. Footvey English is your one-stop shop for all things Venezuelan football in the English language, from the men's to the women's and the domestic leagues to the national teams. Today, I'm joined by Footvey English regular Kevin Vivas. And before we begin the podcast, there is congratulations in order. Kevin Vivas is a new member of Liga Footvey Junior, joining as a community manager for those of you in the English-speaking world. Me, myself, I was unfamiliar with the term, but basically, Kevin is now in the social media team of Liga Footvey, a well-deserved position and something he's been doing for years as the founder and director of Once Footvey. Kevin, how are you? And again, congratulations.
Hi, thank you. And well, very good about this position too. And well, happy to be back to Footvey English podcast.
Well, like I said, community manager doesn't like translate perfectly well into English. So if you're allowed to, could you tell us a little bit about what you'll be doing for Liga Footvey?
Well, basically, I am the person that would make the posts on Instagram. Probably I have the content, probably I have the designs, and I just have to write a caption and post it. And also making all the things to be the community manager. Community managers means like something that manages the community of your social media. And that would be related to making the Instagram stories, like to make them interact and increase engagement. And also like the hardest job would be, well, like the rug is making the design of the matches. Like I have to put the result, the scorers, and yes, and waiting for the image, putting the image in the exact size for the design, which is already established. And well, usually I am suggested to write the caption from the chief of communication, and sometimes it's me that makes the caption for the matches. So it changes.
And I know it's been a long-term like dream of yours or an ambition of yours, like, you know, work within football. Obviously, you've had Once Footvey for a number of years, and I think it's fair to say a lot of people in the world of Venezuelan football would have already considered you part of the world. But to, you know, to actually be recognised for your work and then hired and approached for a job, I know it's been a long-time dream of yours. And I even remember when we first met in 2019, you said that every time you felt yourself sort of disengaging from Venezuelan football, something always brought you back. And now again, here, you're now employed by Liga Footvey. So again, congratulations. What was it like growing up as a football fan in Venezuela? Because obviously the stereotype is Venezuela isn't a football country, it's a baseball country. And although we see this changing, you know, you're in your mid-20s now, so probably 20 years ago or just under 20 years ago when you started your first football games or started playing, you know, it was 2003. Venezuela was in a very different place and Venezuelan football was in a very different place.
Yes, well, I think it has a mix of painful and passion and love. And when I started watching Venezuelan football itself, the league, it was like 13 years ago in 2010. And it was an amazing moment to join because the attendance were very good. I think Venezuelan football was in his top in terms of, I don't know if marketing, because I think it was related to the national team results in international stage. And yes, well, the people attended a lot to the stadium. The average per week, it was like 8,000, but some stadium had 15,000, 16,000. But others like, you know, Atletico Venezuela or Real Sport decreased that average with just 1,000. But the general image you have of a stadium in Venezuela was like 50% and of big stadiums. And yes, it was lovely. And it was also part of the good result of national team. So you were illusionated about getting to a World Cup, doing well in Copa America, etc. And before that stage, I was also a fan of Venezuelan national team. And yes, it was a blend of illusion and pain because we were close. We we did things well. We won some matches, which wasn't something regular before, but we weren't able to get into the World Cup in the last two games, in the last game. So, yes, it's a blend. And right now, you feel the moment of how people in South America consider Venezuela. They think that we don't know anything about football, that we cannot have an opinion, and they merely believe that it's baseball everywhere here, which is not true. And, well, it's a blend. It's like you're not good considered in your continent.
I remember you telling me before that when you were a kid or a teenager, perhaps, watching European football was very easy, very accessible on TV. What was the balance or the relationship between football fans in Venezuela with their own league as opposed to European football?
Well, when I was a child, I remember the first time I watched football in television, at least myself alone, not with my brother, I don't know. It was in 2004. I was just switching channels on my television, and I found out Meridiano Televisión. As the people that doesn't know, it's like it was the biggest broadcast channel in Venezuela of sports. And it was,
and so to point out, it's a freely available channel. It's a state channel. You don't have to pay for this channel.
Exactly, it's a state channel, and it was being broadcasted Atletico Madrid against Mallorca in the Spanish league. And I remember that before I saw a team dress of a white shirt and black pants against another one with blue and white with stripes. And then I found out it was probably the Super Cup, the Europe Super Cup between Valencia and Porto in 2004, 2003, something like that. And yes, it was broadcasted the Premier League, the Spanish League, the Calcio Serie A, and UEFA Champions League for sure. I think that was one of the most appealing to watch. And yes, I don't remember very well another, but like the main 4-3 leagues. The Portuguese league was for a little bit, for some months, and yes, and about football, I remember. Usually, you could find a game of Deportivo Italchacao. I remember that they won 6-0 against another team. I don't remember, probably Ital Maracaibo, but it was like one game per week, something like that. In that moment, Caracas FC as such, they didn't have a lot of fans as they could have now. Well, the stadiums are not full, but people wasn't as aware as now as Caracas FC is a football team that represents the city in Venezuelan football.
So it's fair to say, like, growing up, it was easier to watch European football than Venezuelan football on TV.
Yes, it was free. It was free. It was very easy. And yes, Meridiano broadcasted Copa America, World Cup, Euro Cup, qualifiers of Venezuela, of course. Non-European, but yes, they broadcasted a lot of things. They have a monopoly of football, and it was everything for free. So, of course, the people that grow up, it was easier to become a fan of Barcelona, of Real Madrid, Barcelona with Ronaldinho in that moment, and Los Galacticos, than becoming a fan of Caracas Football Club. You would have to go into the stadium to know that the team exists. The way I discovered Caracas FC, it was when we get to the quarterfinals in Copa Libertadores in 2009. I knew about them before because my brother went to some games. But like the first time I watched all the games of Caracas FC, it was in that Copa Libertadores because it was broadcasted by Fox Sports, which is a channel you have to pay to watch it. Mm-hmm. That's why, not for Meridiano. I remember there was some programs about Venezuelan football, but I wasn't appealing. And well, for reasons that you could understand.
Yeah, and although this isn't long ago, like, it's still worth pointing out that this was before social media, obviously not before the internet, but before social media and that rapid availability of information. But in contrast, now every league of football game is televised. No game kicks off at the same time, which means over the course of 3 days, every game is televised. Do you think that's good for Venezuelan football, that every game is televised and televised on free TV as well?
Yes, for sure, because people is more aware about that. Except some teams. The problem that is also don't do it would be another problem is that you have to pay to watch it, which is very, very cheap. It's like $3 a month. But people that don't know about Venezuelan football, which is the public you have to catch, won't pay it because you don't pay for something you don't know, you don't pay for something that you don't like. And that's the contrast. Probably it would be a good idea, but I know it's impossible to have at least one or two games for free channels. So people could know what they have. I have this. If you want to watch more, you have to pay this per month, which is nothing. This is, but for people, the thing of paying implies something. So
Yeah,
yes, it's an
I think
advantage.
a good idea for the marketing now, like in the past couple of seasons, you've had different Venezuelan free to watch Venezuelan channels broadcast the games. You've had Canali, you've had Meridiano, I think you had TVSA as well. Now it's just on Inter. And I thought I had every TV channel available, but I don't have Inter. Now it's just on Inter or on Gol TV. I thought a good idea for clubs individually to do, if not the league, but certainly clubs individually. I think it would be well worth their time to find out what bars or restaurants or clubs in the area have Inter and could broadcast the games. And if there aren't bars or clubs in the area that do, partner with these bars or clubs to show the games and then advertise through their social medias that, hey, if you can't come to the stadium or you don't want to come to the stadium, here's where you can watch the Portuguesa games in Portuguese, or here in Mérida, this is where you can watch the games.
Yes.
Because obviously not everyone will want to go to a stadium, particularly if it's not, Caracas is huge, for example. And, to get to the stadium, particularly at a Friday game at 5 p.m. straight after work is difficult. Or if it's a late game on a Sunday, getting home in the dark with public transport could be difficult. So yeah, I think that's something the legal clubs could do this season.
Yes, mainly I don't see that a big success in Caracas, but in other places I would see it, like in Barinas, Portuguesa, San Cristobal, Mérida. I think it would be a good idea.
So the main reason you're here to talk to us today, and the introduction gives us a good grounding and backstory to it, is last year. You went on a bit of a tour of Europe, going across and through various countries, and obviously made that football themed where you could go into a couple of games and experiencing some of the football culture in Europe. Kevin, where did you go?
Well, I went to Denmark, Poland, Austria, Czech Republic, Hungary, Sweden, and Croatia, a part of Spain, which my family lives there. So it's like being in Venezuela because I've been several times there. But yes, those countries and about football games, I went to foreign during that stage. I went before to many Barcelona games. FC Barcelona, but I haven't gone to another game that wouldn't be Barcelona in Europe, and they were in Madrid, Rayo Vallecano against Sevilla, and in Barcelona I went to Espanyol game, Espanyol against Rayo Vallecano again, and in Denmark I went to Brøndby against Randers in Danish Super League, and then I was in Austria in a Rapid Wien against Austria Magdeburg for the Bundesliga in Austria, and I was outside of the stadium in the Barcelona Eintracht Frankfurt game, which was historic because there were like 40,000 fans of Frankfurt.
In Camp Nou.
Yes, it was full
Wow.
of Germans. If I would have known that was gonna happen, I would have paid the ticket. But for me, it's a Barcelona game against Frankfurt. I have been for Barcelona games, being Messi, Xavi, Iniesta, Suarez, Neymar, and now they don't have a good team. They're playing against Frankfurt. They will win, and they won't win. They didn't win, and it was full of Germans. It would have been a good experience. I would have paid the $60. I saw
wow.
it worth it.
And you said you've been to numerous Barcelona games before, but obviously it was your first time seeing games in other countries. I sort of have two questions. You can answer them separately or together. But firstly, obviously there's big difference between Venezuelan football culture and football culture in various European countries. But firstly, what are those prime differences that you saw, particularly in the matchday experience? And then sort of the second question is, did you find the experience differ from European country to European country? For example, was the game in Austria, the atmosphere, the environment, was it noticeably different to how it was in Spain or how it was in Denmark?
Well, the main difference between Venezuela and the other football is what you said, specifically the culture, the culture. I feel there is not a big thing in the terms of match experience that you could live in Venezuela, that you could live in Austria or Denmark. I mean, experience in terms of that you can buy beverages, that you can buy food. Probably a thing that you don't have in Venezuela that you do have there is buying the merchandise of the team. That's something that we scarce here. But I feel is the culture the main thing that we have in difference. For example, in a Brøndby game, it was in Denmark. Brøndby is like a municipality of Copenhagen. It's like, so to say, Baruta here in Caracas. And you went to the stadium on Sunday, 4 p.m., 3 p.m., I don't remember. And it was, Brøndby was like in the fifth position. And Austria Mecklenburg was in almost in relegation position. And no, Randers, it was in Denmark. And you saw many people on the bus station, like, and each bus station, more people going into the bus, all dressed of Brøndby blue and yellow and colorful, etc. No matter what's the importance of the game, and the people just wanted to attend. It's something about culture. It's what we would have here in baseball, that you probably don't like so much baseball. You're a fan of a team because in Caracas you usually support three teams: one of the city, one of a city very close from here, and like another is the top team here, which is like a Barcelona, but this is not in Caracas itself. So you are on the streets and you talk with some, what team are you during the season? And they say, I'm from Magallanes. And you say, oh no, I am Caracas fan. So the rivalry starts like a joke, etc. And it's something that we don't have here in Venezuelan football that they probably would have in Copenhagen. That you have Brøndby, that you have Copenhagen, probably another team. You have that culture. You grow up having a team. You grow up and your father is fan of a team, and here instead we have to make that engagement since our beginning, and probably during the time in the next year it will be go through generations, but we're still are very few to become that a big impact in our culture. And the difference between Austria and Denmark, I think they were very similar. I didn't see a big difference, and it was the barra, like the hooligans, I don't know how to say, in the south stand, and chanting a lot, jumping a lot. I think Europeans, South Americans believe that we are the most animated fans in the world, but I think it's not necessarily like that, because Europeans, ultras in the rest, probably a part of some countries, they are very, you know, that they're very, very good, very, very good to hear. And they are always chanting. They ask you to chant. And they are also, you get afraid of them for his faces, for his attitude. And yes, I enjoyed more in Denmark because I was with a friend. In Austria, I was alone and I was uncomfortable because all the people was like, looking, I felt I was looking, I was looked probably because I didn't change. And well, I think it was very, there was many similarities between both games.
Mm-hmm. And in Spain, Did you feel the culture or the match day experience in Spain differed from Austria and Denmark? You said that Austria and Denmark felt quite similar. What about Spain? How did it compare?
Spain, well, in Spain, and I went to Vallecas, in Rayo Vallecano. Probably the difference, it was like in the around the stadium, there were a lot of shops that didn't were inside of the stadium. Well, it's a small stadium, the Vallecas, and there were people just meeting there, drinking and eating, well, mainly drinking. And after the game, people left. All the rest of Rayo Vallecano left and meet again in a bar, in a restaurant, eating and drinking. And so all the places around the stadium were full of people of the stadium. Also, I remember there was some fan of Sevilla meeting in a specific store that was covered by a tape, and they just could be there. And in the Espanyol game, it was pretty different. It was a very boring game, and I arrived like in the minute 30, and it was the game I could have enjoyed the most because I was entering VIP for free because the spouse of my cousin is Carles Planas, which is a professional footballer. Well, I would say now he's former professional footballer, and he played many games in La Liga, and he was friend of one of the Espanyol's players, Sergi Gomez, and we went there in the VIP. But it was a boring game. I think 1-0 for Rayo Vallecano, but Espanyol didn't have anything to do on the league, on the positions, and it was like 50% of attendance, and yes, all quiet, boring. But when again after the game, the Espanyol stadium is next to a mall, a shopping mall, and many people went there to eat again, like. Yes, going to a game is a culture that you go to spend, you go to enjoy. It's something that probably happens here in Caracas FC with La Barra. They meet after the games, and they drink in the plaza outside of the stadium and eat. But it's very few people that do it. And people here, of course, is more doesn't have the money that an European could have and spending in things for fun.
And I remember you did a, I think it was at the Rayo Vallecano game, their home game. I remember you did a thread on Twitter at the time and took quite a few photos of the stadium and outside the stadium. And if I remember rightly, even if it wasn't you, I think quite a few other people commented quite shocked that like the condition of the stadium, that it wasn't like pristine and super clean and well looked after. Am I remembering rightly?
Well, the stadium itself is very pretty clean inside, but not so much outside. I remember many graffitis, many
Yes, yeah, I
graffitis
remember your photos.
outside of
And
the
do you
stadium.
think that like I obviously I'm in various group chats here in Venezuela with different football fans, and I think there's sort of like this idealization of the new European stadiums, like the big ones, like the new Wembley, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, Dortmund Stadium, the new Bayern Munich Stadium, of sort of like this is what we want our stadiums to look like. But I know that my favorite football stadium here in Venezuela is the Soto Rosa, because it's got that history that you can't create. Like you can't build a stadium like that. A stadium becomes that over years with the history, with the stories attached to it, and how it grows. What was your opinion of the stadiums that you visited in Europe compared to the stadiums here, ignoring the fact of attendance?
Well, it feels very modern. It feels like you even can see that the illumination is very different. It's everything more lighter. The sponsors are You feel in a more most modern place. It's like when we went to the baseball game in the new stadium here in Venezuela, that you feel in something new, you feel in something modern. That's the aspect I had in many of the stadium, probably a part of Vallecas because it's a very small stadium, but the brand of the sponsor of La Liga makes it more modern. But probably what we were talking about is that in Venezuela we overrate the things of the stadium outside of Venezuela and probably the environment. Probably a Venezuelan could feel very safe because he's in Europe, but when you're there, the people, not all the people in Europe is an angel, and not all the people in Europe behaves good. And so when you're there, probably you are a good Venezuelan that feels uncomfortable with crazy Europeans chanting and jumping, insulting a lot. I think the game I have heard the most insult, it was in the Rayo Vallecano game. I bought a place like next to the grass. It was like 25 euros. It was cheap for me. It's worth it. And the people there just insult and insult and insult the referee. That I have never seen that. Like in the intensity in Venezuela, even in Venezuela, I have been in many full stadiums. But the people there also, a difference is that they insult the rivals because they know the rivals. That's what we were talking about, culture. They knew, well, of course, Jesus Navas is easy to know, but they knew that Lucas Ocampos is Argentinian. They knew that En-Nesyri is from Morocco, etc. Something, when you come here, you know, the fans of Caracas in general don't know who are the players of the other teams. And some even don't know their own players. So that's a big difference that you could notice in the culture. People know football and go to football because they watch the sports. And they watch not only his team, also the other teams, because, of course, it's an important league.
And I've taken a few English people to games in Caracas, not just Caracas Football Club, but also Eusebio and Deportivo La Guaira and Metropolitanos games. So I've taken some, and we've sat in the gradas in the central, and sometimes we've sat in the tribuna, the principal stand, the nicest stand, if you like. And I had this opinion before I came back, after I'd been here in 2019 and before I came back in 2021. I would much rather watch a Liga football game in a stadium like El Olimpico than watch a game in the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Like, I've been to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, the new one, three times, each time to watch Southampton Tottenham. I've been at a weekend afternoon game. I've been at a weekday evening game, which are two very different experiences anyway. And I didn't like it at all. The Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is, well, one thing to bear in mind is it was also built to host other events like concerts, music concerts, and even NFL games. But additionally, like, it doesn't feel like you're at the football. It feels like you're at the theater. The stadium is too nice, and like the facilities are too nice. Like, El Olimpico need to upgrade their toilets. They're disgusting. But like, a football stadium can be too nice, and the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is just too perfect. The seats are too comfortable. Like, you can go there and it's like going to the cinema. They sell you a massive, I know it's a bit more common here to have popcorn at football, but still not common. But in England, no. It's crazy. Yeah, you go to I remember going, and it was like a large Coke and a big popcorn for like $10. And I was just thinking, what the fuck? Like, where am I? And interestingly, which is why I brought it up, like the English people that I've taken to games here in Venezuela have really liked the experience. One guy came to the Caracas Deportivo Táchira Gran Falan in 2021, Phil, actually, sadly, who passed away last week. And he said it was he's a Tottenham fan as well, coincidence. He said it was his greatest football experience in terms of being in a stadium. He absolutely loved standing in the barra with the music and everything. Curtis came yesterday. Ash, who was on the previous podcast, you know, he saw games from the south as well as the tribuna. And there's although the attendance is low, like, Venezuelan football still has like a charm and authenticity that I think you risk losing with stadiums like Tottenham's new stadium.
Yes, probably in England, you have that thought about the football. Gotta be living the football, not just watching it as a spectacle. And well, that's why that it has that charm of those small stadiums that you have in League One and in League Two that are very small and very close to the grass, to the pitch. And well, yes, Tottenham Stadium was White Hart Lane, which was smaller and probably the actual the kind of stadium that you like or most are most common in England. But
yeah,
yeah.
And it's like I don't know, like how a football game can be lived, like being there as a fan can be lived in the way that I think most people fall in love with, when the seats are like so comfortable and you've got the steward or the attendant like telling you every 5 minutes to sit down, like you're not supposed to be standing up. And it was just, yeah, it's too comfortable. So later in the year, you're going back to Europe, you're going to different countries. Which different countries are you going to, and will you be making football part of your journey again?
Well, thankfully we bought the trip this week, the tickets, but the plan is going to even more countries than before. I'm going with friends, which will make it more appealing. Venezuelan friends that were my friends, has been my friend during all my life. And Italy, but Milan, Venezia, Slovenia, and Cyprus, Greece, Jordan, like your name, Finland, Finland, Estonia, Estonia, like another tree. I forgot now. It was 10 countries, something like that. Cyprus, Greece, but yes. Well, our aim would be well, Switzerland probably if we pass through from Milan, but I would want to go to some games, to some exotic games, because the atmosphere is amazing. I think one of the games I have most enjoyed, it was that Brøndby game, because it was special and something you had in difference from the Austria Wien game, Rapid Wien game. It was like the south stand, where is the ultras, where the ultras are, you have a floor next to it, so you can stand in the floor and watch back and see all the ultras, so all the stands. That's something that happened in some stadium, that you have a floor that you can be stand, not the gradas, not the seats. I think that couldn't be allowed in during UEFA games, because people can be stand, but during the league it happens, and it was good, because so I could watch them very close, but I wasn't actually part of them. Instead, in the Ultra Bien and Rapid Bien game, I had to be there. And so I didn't have a good angle to record and to see. So that was the difference. But yes, I feel the exotic European football is very appealing and amazing to watch. Even I saw an Argentinian, which is a little bit famous, that went yesterday to the definition of a Slovenian league. And the atmosphere was amazing. And well, yes, I get a billet, and now that I will be in Milan, and now Inter and Milan, they are finally in a good moment. Probably, I think that if you are in Milan, you're a football fan. I think San Siro is a place to go, because it's very historic, and will be during international stage qualifiers. So it would be a check to make going to an Euro qualifiers. It would be interesting to watch an international game if it's possible.
Yeah, I think from what you said, I'd like to, if it, depending on if he's still playing and starting, I would like to, if I was you, I would like to try and see Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I don't think I've ever seen him live. I really don't. There's a chance I may have seen him live in a game when he was at Man United in the Premier League, but I don't think I did. And he's been one of my favourite players always. And not just because the country has my name, but I would be interested in seeing a game in Jordan. That would be another, you know, it's not Europe, it's not South America, it's another continent you could tick off, and an interesting football culture. I saw over the weekend somebody post the game from the third division in Luxembourg's tiny third division, and there were like flares, fireworks.
Wow!
Like it looked like a couple thousand people. That's like the third division in Luxembourg. So it's always interesting things. And particularly like if you just stumble across a game that like you haven't particularly planned and you end up going along to, it could be really, really interesting. So maybe we'll have you back after you've had your next European tour and football. Kevin, thank you for joining us as always. And again, congratulations on your new role with Liga Football.
Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure to talk about my trip after 1 year.
Yes, I know. We've been meaning to for a while, but thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you.